Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, where you can hear us on the west side now. Love it, love it, love it. I've got it on good authority. I've got two sources now that have confirmed that Braddock and Creighton will both be here tonight.
Oh, good. Do you think they'll address what happened in the
first
segment or so?
Absolutely they will. So you got to be here at 7 o'clock to hear it.
Tune in for that.
I'm afraid it's going to be mushy and a love fest. I liked it when they're calling each other bitch. Better.
Well, there was one guy directing
that one. Didn't Creighton one time come back with
it? He might have called him an a-hole.
He called him an a-hole. An a-hole.
F and a-hole, yeah.
Yeah. But I like those words better.
Those guys have gone viral.
Sorry, bro.
Well, those guys
are like a brother to me, and
it's just the heat of the moment, family. Yeah, we always fight. It's all love.
I'd much rather they come out. You're a a-hole.
Well, that clip has gone viral thanks to our Twitch stream. People are like, why do you have the Twitch stream? Well, there it is.
Well,
it's on multiple national websites, that argument, particularly on Awful Announcing. And tune in to see how it goes. 7 p.m. right after the Blitz.
So I broke the story that the two will be together tonight.
You broke. Yeah, you did.
Sources
close to you.
Sources close to me.
You actually were the one who brought it to the group chat's attention. You happened to be listening because you love yourself to sports radio. You're listening on that night. You heard the first segment live. And I was like, what? What are we doing? And then I listened back to it. I was like, oh, it's pretty good. It's particularly that second segment.
Yeah.
And then the problem is we would have had an uncut version, a lengthier version on the Twitch, but Tyler was like, this is ugly. I'm going to pull this down.
I know. Why did Tyler pull it down during the break?
Protect the innocent, I guess.
What innocent? I thought it was awesomeness.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't. The last big thing was you F and a-hole.
Yeah. You F and a-hole, and then he shut it down.
Yeah. It was all good. Tyler was like, ooh. That's enough of that.
So, can we check on Podcast Arena how many hits it's gotten?
I can look at it.
It might be one of our biggest. It's on Awful Announcing. It's on.
Well, you can see how many times that clip has been played, the Twitch particular clip, because on Twitter it'll show you how many times someone's viewed a particular clip. So we can take a look at that. But as far as the actual podcast, I can see that, but it'll take me a little bit to find it.
See if you can find it, because that is. I'm pretty sure. Hey, we got some good. Thanks, guys. Maybe you can do it again.
just ruin yourself.
Can't we replay Josh and Nick?
You want to hear that too? I mean, I have to ask Nick about the date because I remember it being a thing. I just don't remember the date.
Can't we replay it so that everyone can relive it and maybe we can get some heat off that too?
I guess of a producer telling a host he sucks at life and he's an intern.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give the numbers. I will just say that it looks like they did a show on, what was the 11th? Was the 11th or Friday? They did a show that day, whatever the 11th was, and then if you look at the next show, which is when they got in their fight, the numbers have tripled in terms of listens on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
When you compare it to that Friday, that previous day to the fight day, numbers tripled as far as listens.
Oh, I think I would have thought it would be much more than that.
Well, triple the listenership?
Yeah. Well, just for that podcast.
Well, we don't have individual segments.
I mean, it went national.
But we don't have individual clips on the podcast. We have hours.
Hours.
Yeah, so you can – the way you look at how that clip went viral, like I said, Twitter shows the view count, mm-hmm. and you'll see how many people have seen it so far.
I wonder, does Twitch show it? Because a lot of people have watched that Twitch
clip.
Yeah,
Twitch.
But that – seen mostly on Twitter.
Most people probably seen it on Twitter because big accounts have retweeted it.
Yeah,
but we can take a look and see how many times people have watched that episode, that particular hour or so, or the particular show. And I imagine the numbers have gone up quite a bit. So you can hear them again today at 7 and see how things are.
Yes, we are that dumb. Says, hope you all don't miss the golden opportunity to change the name of the show to Braddock and the Bitch.
You think Patrick Creighton wants to be the bitch on his own show? It's unlikely.
Oh.
What if we had to send the new copy to our voice guy? He's like, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do?
Oh.
And then promos could be, I'm Jason Braddock, and Creighton Blue, I'm that bitch. Listen to us at 7.
Oh, that's so funny. No, that's not funny.
You're laughing. It Patrick seems funny Creighton. To you.
So, Jemele Hill, I'm Team Jemele.
We know.
Just another example of what women have to go through in this business. Huge accomplishment for Maria to be part of the Monday Night Football team tonight. And here comes an a-hole trying to undermine a big moment in her career. So, Dan McNeil of 670 in, he's 670, the zone, the sport, the something.
It'll be something like
whatever.
That.
And he tweeted out that, is this what a Monday Night Football sideline reporter or an AVN host, ooh, should be wearing? And he got fired for it.
Yeah, I don't know his standing with the station and what it was before then, but it feels pretty easy to just not have to not say something. Like, what outside of, you know, getting a jab at Maria Taylor, who you don't know anything about, you don't know, what's the purpose? Just to see if you can get some clicks and some likes. Judge, I don't know how many followers he has. Let's say he has 10,000 followers. Okay, you might get, I don't know, 100 retweets, 4,000 likes, and you didn't even take into consideration what it would do, what it might cost you. Did it feel, for that temporary, oh, I got her, now you're out of a job. Because you know what? It actually did what you wanted to do. It went viral, and Maria Taylor saw it, and I'm sure the people who hired you were like, yeah, we're not looking for that this particular type of attention. And now you're done. So you got what you wanted. People saw it. And now you're out of a job. I talk about it all the time. Forget about Raheel's thing about never go viral, which is still stands. What are you doing, man?
What are you doing?
In these times,
you're comparing to an adult film star host?
A woman who has gone from sideline reporter to studio host, who's done everything.
Can't be dumber.
Worked hard and found her way to a high-level job, and you decide, I'll take my shot, see what happens. And this is what happens. Just keep your mouth shut.
You lost your job.
It's not that clever, and it costs you your job.
Just dumb. It just can't be dumber. Can't be dumber. Congratulations, Dan McNeil.
I would say know your standing, Dan McNeil. I mean, if you are untouchable, maybe you get that off. But you got to be aware of who you are and your standing and be like, you know what? I've seen other people get fired for this. I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Text it to your boys if you really want people to hear your thoughts on something.
Yeah, that's a text, right?
Yeah. And even your boys might be like, oh, that's funny, or okay, we'll ignore it. But you had to put it out there, and now you're paying the consequences for it. It's just kind of stupid.
7378037776. Houston Sports Talk Podcast says, you keep bringing up the three-point shooters Morey brought in this postseason. Covington shot 50% from three. Green, 42.6. McLemore, 38.9. Tucker, 37.3. House, 35.8. First of all, they don't shoot the majority of them. Secondly, that's the outlier. They were 24th in the league this year. The Rockets were in three-point shooting. There's only 30 teams, and they were 24th. That's bad. When you take a bunch of threes, and oh, by the way, they didn't get a bunch. So how much poorer was this offense? You want to take a look at the scores? Let's take a look at the scores that they had against the Lakers, a team that's supposed to be one of the most high-powered offenses in the NBA in this postseason. You know, they put up 33 threes. I mean, it was just, they were pitiful offensively. They were just pitiful. So, no, they have to shoot better. Just because those guys shot well, guess who shoots the most? James. And guess who decided he was going to start shooting him again? Russ.
And Eric Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, and in that series, they put up 96 points, 100 points, 102 points, 109, and 112. That's the high power. A team that doesn't play defense, a team that is known for scoring and has to score, has to up tempo, has to run with Russ. It's supposed to be up tempo. Chris Paul, no, they became a half court team and they were pretty damn good at it. They won 65 games doing what they did. This team was supposed to be up-tempo and firing threes. And they, instead of firing threes, they had the Lakers had as many threes as they did.
The issue, issue is when the Lakers decided we're going to take away your corner threes. We're going to make you do something you're uncomfortable with. The Rockets don't have any multifaceted players outside of their lead dogs. And really, James himself was maybe the only one, and even he'll settle far off more often than he should. They don't have guys who can change it up. I mean, it's funny that the bucket that won the series against OKC was a mid-range floater by PJ Tucker, because the OKC knows what everyone knows, close out on their three-point shooters and force them to do something else. And PJ Tucker actually did something else and it won the series for him. They don't have guys. When the Lakers decided we're going to go smaller, we're going to be quicker, and we're not going to give you those looks, there was no answer. Maybe it's certainly a D'Antoni thing, and it's also a player thing. Do you trust any of those guys? Do you trust Covington to get into the lane and make a 14-foot jumper? Even if you do, they're so ingrained not to do it that no one does it.
No.
The NBA, and it's not simply a Rocket problem, but you can tell when a guy's not going to make a shot, not just because of a contest or he's off balance, but where he shoots it from. When you look at some players, they're not comfortable shooting on certain spots of the floor. So in my head, I'm like, oh, hell no, he's not making that shot, because look where he shot it from. That's not what he's trained to do.
Oh, and by the way, in the final game, they did put up 49 threes.
And how many did they make?
They made 13, 26%.
Yeah.
So great. Those stats are great. When they did put up a bunch, they sucked at it. By the way, the Lakers were 19 of 37, 51%. Playing them at their own game and beating them, destroying them at their own game.
Yeah, I will contend, like you're saying, that the lower number of threes helped the Rockets' percentage. Because when you start to – now, they play a numbers game that we all know about. But when you start to jack up a lot of threes from non-three-point shooters, the percentage is going to go down just because they're gonna find water.
Right.
And their water is about 34-plus percent. That's not good enough.
That's their water. When they put up 33 threes, that's right. They made 14. But they lost three straight games, which they hadn't lost all year, when they shot 40% from three. You know why? Because they shot so many fewer. So they made some threes percentage-wise, which was got them their ass kicked, that percentage. When they shoot a bunch, like 50, which is what they're supposed to shoot, then they're not very good.
No, the numbers go down, and that's because those are who those guys are.
Get shooters. If you're not going to play defense anyway, get shooters.
There needs we hear about the culture reset. There needs to be not just a culture reset, because a culture reset doesn't speak to how you're going to play. There needs to be we're going to play a different way reset too.
Yep. 10:13 ESPN 97.5. So it's time for me to talk about HRMP. Speaking of culture, you know, the HR department does set a culture. We've seen terrible cultures with no HR departments, and that's what happened with the Washington football team. I mean, just no accountability. Well, HRMP says no. Your company's going to be accountable with HR, and they take care of any HR issues for you. You call them, hey, we have a problem here. They take care of that for you. HRMP, and then the payroll part is spectacular. They should add in there and taxes. And SBA loans, it should be HRP, ACA, and SBA, and all the other stuff, and unemployment claims, and all the other stuff that they do. It's not just payroll. And you know what? If you've got a CFO that is taking care of all of this, you know what? You probably have a huge department. When in fact, you can save a boatload of money by going with HRMP. This is what they do every day, every single day. And they'll take care of the taxes, the ACA, and they'll take care of the SBA, and they'll take care of everything else that you need and you've got to have to get back into the business world right now. It's so important. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. You're looking for the best HR and payroll company, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, college news. If you haven't heard yet, Big Ten is going to play, and it's going to start October 24th is the date?
23rd and 24th, so that means they're going to be playing some Friday games.
And Well, in a lot of places, there's no high school football, so might as well. What's the difference, right?
Yeah.
So the Big Ten says, let's play. Pac-12 now. USC issued a letter to the governor of California requesting permission to play football. You think they can get it started right away?
Well, Larry Scott, the commissioner for the Pac-12, issued a statement today, and paraphrasing it, pretty much said, we hope that the rapid testing that we have, the deal we struck, will allow our institutions in Oregon and California to get ready. They can go into contact practices because right now the health officials in those two states aren't allowing it. So the Big Ten has cited rapid daily testing as a reason why they think they can play. The Pac-12 was hoping with six teams in those two states that those states will relent and let them get going. So until that happens, they're not going to go full steam ahead with only six of their members not being able to play.
Yeah. I think it all depends on California, right? Oregon has its issues.
Has a top 10 team, so certainly they want to get them back on the field. They have to convince those state officials that, hey, we can do this safely, and maybe those two states cannot be on fire. That might help their cause.
Yeah, that might help. Yeah, they're both on fire. Ed Orgeron says that most of the LSU team has gotten it. That's a bad thing to say
unless you can point out that most of it came from non-football activities. But, yeah, he said most of them have had it, and he says currently maybe a couple guys are suffering from it, are recovering at least, and maybe a couple others in quarantine, and LSU season begins on the 24th. It's not a great thing to point out that your entire team has had it. It just sounds really bad. I don't know if there's more context in terms of, well, these things happened before they got here. This is non-football stuff, but that's the headline right now.
Yep. What are the guidelines? 5%? If 5% him?
Yeah, the Big Ten has some guidelines. Other than the fact that there won't be any bye weeks, so there won't be really any room to move a game around. If you test positive as a player, that means you're shut down for 21 days. So if you test positive before week one, you're not back until week four. And then also, if your team has more than 5% positivity rate, you're pausing practices and games. And once again, without those bye weeks, that means you're probably missing 1 to 2 games. They also have set it up to get their ninth game in, and that's likely for TV, and if TV money. The ninth week will be the Big Ten title game, so that's the first place team in each division. But every subsequent team, the number two will play number two that week. Number three will play number three. So going down the list, you will still have teams playing nine games, even if you're the last place team in your division. You'll just play the last place team in the other division in a game, so the Big Ten can get more games in, which will help their TV deal. So everyone's going to be playing nine games. The ninth game will mean very little to everyone except the top two, which will be in the title game.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a really good idea. Now, obviously, whoever Rutgers plays from the other division in that seven game, no one will give a rat's ass. It'll just be something to bet on. I don't even think their parents are going to be watching it.
I imagine most of those games will be on the Big Ten Network. Now, that's championship week, which would be December 19th. It coincides with the ACC and the SEC. The ACC and the SEC and the Big 12, I think, as well. Has the Big 12 said they have like a movable date? Because I know the ACC and the SEC do, where it could be December 12th or 19th, depending on what's best for those two conferences. So the 19th will be the Big Ten game. So you might have three title games on the 19th, and then a slate of Big Ten games going on probably most of them on the Big Ten Network at least.
And then we're still planning on January 1st, Rose Bowl and Orange?
I think that's...
Is it Rose and Orange?
I think those are...
Or no, Rose and Sugar.
Sugar's going to host a game even though they hosted a title game?
Even though they hosted a title game.
They're going to host another game back, another playoff game back-to-back?
They've got... it's back-to-back. No.
Yeah, they hosted the title game this past season. Are they going to host another?
No.
I think it's the Orange.
I think it's the Orange.
Yes. Yeah. So that was the whole purpose of this for the Big Ten, at least. I mean, everyone thinks it's about Ohio State, but I'm sure Michigan and Penn State are saying, hey, we're here too. We want a shot. Yes, to try to get into the CFP. And the CFP is not changing their date. They have those set in stone. So I think they've talked, Bill Hancock, I think I saw a quote where he's like, Yeah, I mean, we'll consider it as long as they reach some guidelines as far as games played. Yeah, they'll be involved, the Big Ten. So the dates are the dates, and the Big Ten did this to try to make sure they have some teams who are eligible.
No, it is the Sugar Bowl.
It is? Okay. I guess they hold the title game separate because that's like a Super Bowl.
Right, you bid on that.
Yeah, you bid on. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, this rotates, and that's a bid. That's bid on.
Gotcha.
So the games will be, it's the Rose in the afternoon and then the Sugar Bowl at night. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I guess we all suspect, depending on the schedule when it comes out, that Ohio State, it doesn't automatically remove a second SEC school from the equation because we've seen it in the past, but it makes it less likely that because it almost was like guaranteed that we're going to see a second SEC school in the playoff.
Because of the Big Ten not playing.
And the Pac-12 right. Less so. But the Big Ten was likely going to have a representative because Ohio State was probably going to run through that conference. Now that Ohio State is back, the SEC is probably only going to have, they can still have two, but it's less likely. And it certainly removes any hope that a non-Power 5 was going to make it. Not that we thought there were anyway.
I just got word from a reliable source. Sources are telling me Carlos Correa will play tonight.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Fouled a ball off of his ankle foot part, and he's okay. Thought he'd need surgery and 7 months to recover. But no, he's playing tonight.
Wow. They thought it would be that bad?
No, I thought that.
Okay. One other thing. We're talking a lot of college football. We're going to have Dana Holgorsen, the Cougs, start their season on Saturday in an impromptu game they scheduled on last Saturday. They're going to be playing Baylor, but we'll have Dana Holgorsen to talk about what it's taken to get ready for a game and how that game came about. And he'll join us what time is it on tomorrow?
7:30.
7:30. Dana Holgorsen will join us to talk about the Cougars, their season getting started, and maybe what it means that now that the Big Ten is on the books and what it means for the group of five as far as their championship hopes.
I was talking to him. He's got ties to that whole. I said, how do you get ready for Baylor in a week? Because you guys have to study like every single game they've played since 1960.
Well, they have a new coordinator.
They got a new coach in Aranda.
And new coordinator. So.
And so they go back and he said, we'll go back and watch LSU, how they play defense and see, what they're going to put in. And Joe Wickline actually was his offensive line coach when he was at West Virginia.
Okay.
So he knows Joe Wickline really well. He knows his blocking schemes. He knows everything. He knows all about that, what Joe Wickline is probably going to try because he was with him every day. And Dana was the offensive coordinator, and Joe Wickline was his O-line coach. So.
And Baylor has the same issues.
Yeah.
They got a plan. So you would know better than me. When it's a in-season thing and, you play a game, then you have to prepare for the next game. How much preparation is done for game 7 as opposed to game 1? Because in the middle of the year, how much time do you have to prepare? Is it just a week? So what's the difference?
You got a week. Now you got somebody that's an advanced scout. You got somebody that's, your video guys have put together all the tape that you got to watch all their different games and whatnot. Week 7 is probably, but it was funny because Bill O'Brien, there was a quote from Bill O'Brien and, talking about how you get ready with just one game for the Ravens. And he said, no, you got to go back. You got to watch how they played you last year. You got to watch what they do against other teams, how they play you differently. Because you can go back and watch the Steelers game, but you don't have the same kind of personnel that the Steelers have. So, you know what? They're going to play you differently than they play the Steelers. But you want to watch their tendencies and kind of things that they do, the different blitz packages. I can see the Ravens coming after Deshaun. It wasn't encouraging watching Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks. It just wasn't because here's the deal. As long as you can cover them for the first couple, 3-4 seconds, you run with them, they're not winning 50-50 balls.
They're not winning those contested matchups.
No.
And then you look think about what the Ravens will do in their cornerbacks and their secondary as compared to the Chiefs. The Ravens, no one's going to argue the Ravens would be considered the better secondary. And then... is Titus Howard going to play better? Is Fulton going to play better? Because Deshaun could find himself being harassed throughout. And so forget about the length of coverage. He may not have time to wait for those guys to get open. The way that part of that offensive line played in week 1.
No, I don't. He's not going to have. Remember Matt Judon last year?
Yeah.
And you got Derek Wolfe and Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, and you got Patrick Queen now over there. I can see Patrick Queen in the backfield quite a bit.
And they harassed the hell out of Baker. And
Marlon Humphrey is going to.
Yeah, and Marcus Peters.
And they got rid of Earl Thomas. They kept Chuck Clark.
Yeah. So.
Where is Earl, by the way?
He is in Seattle, right?
Oh, no.
No,
that's a Jamal Adams.
He's not on a team right now.
No. He's just kind of hanging out with his brother, maybe doing stuff with some girls. I don't know.
I guess it's possible. But we heard the Texans, that story got brought up again once Earl Thomas was released, that the Texans weren't so sure that Earl Thomas was all about football. And that's the reason they didn't acquire him back when he was talking to them for at least a day or so, whatever. So maybe Earl Thomas isn't all that interested unless it's the perfect scenario.
He likes to do stuff.
A lot of people like to do stuff. Generally, just not with their brother.
Yeah,
involved.
That's weird. That's kind of
weird. That's the weird part.
That's weird. All right, it's 10:28. Time to talk about CBD American Shaman. CBD American Shaman. I took mine this morning. My back is bothering me from playing golf, and I mean, really bothered me yesterday. So I'm taking my CBD oil, and it's helped relax. I mean, it does. It helps with inflammation. It helps with anxiety. It helps your muscles, and it flows through you evenly, and that's kind of a big deal, because if oil and water don't mix, well, this oil and water does mix because it's water soluble. That's the special thing about CBD oil with American Shaman. It's not built like all CBD oils are not built alike. So CBD American Shaman is the biggest. It's got 30 locations here in the city of Houston, and not only here in Houston. I mean, this thing is huge, okay? And their plan is better than everybody else's. Then you can find out about it. All you have to do is stop in one of the shops. Go to shopcbdtx.com, shopcbdtx.com, and find out the location nearest you. And I'm telling you, you are going to love it. They give out free samples as well. shopcbdtx.com.
Is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Some prop bets after week one, Dell. See which way you're going to go. Will an NFL coach be fined for not wearing a mask?
Well, Sean McVay says the reprimands from the league was kind of directly at him for what he
basically wore a choker.
Yeah, he wore it around his neck for the entire game. Fine.
I'm going to say no.
Well, they fine for uniforms all the time. So if a guy's seen not wearing a mask consistently, well, you think the NFL will ignore it or the coaches will never put them in a position to get fined?
Well, and it could be an assistant coach that's over on the sideline, and that would probably happen as opposed to a head coach.
I think it happens.
I think it happens, too. No is – yes is actually plus 110. No is minus 150. No is the favorite. I think at some point a coach will be fined.
Does the NFL – is there a length of time you have to be without a mask before they fine you?
I think if they see you on TV coaching up on the sideline without a mask on, they can probably go after you, and they probably will go after an assistant.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yep. Will Tom Brady throw a pick six in week two?
Who are they playing?
I don't know who the Bucs have. They're at home against...
I don't think he's Matt Schaub now just because he's thrown it in multiple games in a row. I'm going to say it ends this week.
How about this? The total interceptions by Tom Brady... Over under 13.5.
How many is he at right now? Is he already at two?
Well, so you got a head start on that.
I'm going to take a new offense.
He's never thrown more than 15 in a season.
He's older, not better.
No.
And it's an offense that it's probably going to ask him to throw the ball down the field more. I'm saying yes.
Will Cam Newton lead the Patriots in rushing yards? No is the favorite.
I don't think so. Particularly because week one, the Dolphins didn't look prepared for it. I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams allowing them to just reimagine the Carolina Panthers offense on them, at least not with Cam running the football. I think they'll be it'll be more situational for him running the ball as opposed to a consistent thing throughout the year.
There were 19 missed field goals in week one, the most of any week since 2011. Over under this week, 13.5.
It was a lot. Multiple kickers missed multiple kicks to get that number. Zane Gonzalez of Arizona, I think, missed multiple kicks. We know Gostkowski was awful.
Mm-hmm. His over under is a half missed field goals. I'm going over.
I would take it too. Or Mike Vrabel says we're not kicking field goals this week. I think I'll go under this week, though.
You're going under 13.5?
Yes. I'll take the under this
week. I'd like to see the weather. I'd like to see the wind in places.
Not sure how many dome games are being
played.
Yes. Yeah.
Will the Seahawks attempt to pass from the opponent 1 yard line in week two?
I think the Seahawks are all about it.
That's what they do.
But I'm going to say they won't be on the opponent's. Oh, the opponent's 1 yard line.
Yes.
Okay. That's different than their own.
No, because that's what they do. That's how they lost the Super Bowl.
And I think I think Mina Kimes, who's a big Seattle fan, is on ESPN. She talked about how Seattle's all in on Russell Wilson. Now, we thought they were before.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do this whole, okay, let's run the ball early. No, we're just going to give it to our best guy, let him do what he does. That's what they did. I think, yes.
Yeah.
I think they will trust Russ all the time.
It's minus 600. Yes, you get 350.
Well, see, if the
about
question
100,
is,
you win 350.
Will they be on the 1 yard line?
That's the problem.
Because I like the bet of winning more money, I'll take the no just because I say they won't be on the 1 yard line to throw.
But if they are, yeah. Tua Tagovailoa, total starts during 2020 regular season, over under 6.5.
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick helped that number of over with the 3 picks in week one. And despite naming him the starter in the previous year, in the preseason, Brian Flores had to come out and go, Ryan Fitzpatrick will start week two. That already feels like we're getting close to Tua time when he has to announce who the starter is in week two.
Well, because it was so poor. Now, he has a big game here, and it's all forgotten.
Yeah, that's true, but the Bills have wrecked the Dolphins' lives in the last couple years, and that defense has given Fitzpatrick trouble. I think Tua starts more than 6.5. I was against it before, but that particular showing doesn't give me much confidence that Fitzpatrick's going to play like 10 games this year.
Looking at the standings right now, and the question is, will any last place team from last year make the playoffs?
Think of the last place teams, the Redskins, and they won.
When it's division,
okay.
The Cardinals, Jaguars, Chargers, Redskins.
And they all won.
All finished and last, and they all won in week one.
The Jags are in with the Jags. I feel like they're trying to be bad, but they're probably in the least in terms of divisions with an elite team. They're the one who doesn't have one because the Cardinals, despite beating the 49ers, they still have the 49ers in that division.
But
the Jags probably have the easiest road.
What about the Redskins?
Oh, that's the Jags and the Redskins have the easiest road.
Yep.
Because of the teams in the division aren't great. But I'm going to still say no.
I think the Redskins have an easier road. Chargers obviously don't. Cardinals, that's a tough division. But you could see that division beating each other up.
So how many wins do you think it
takes? They're already beating each other up.
That's true. I still think that's a double-digit win division. And do I think the Cardinals, despite what they did, I know, on Sunday, do I think they're winning double-digit games? It'd be the first time Cliff has got anywhere close to it.
It is, but he's got talent now.
That's true.
And he's got Chandler Jones, and he's got...
Well, if Kyler Murray is the guy, if he's number one pick good and not Baker Mayfield number one pick good, but an actual good quarterback, there's a shot.
Yeah.
That's a good... They got weapons on offense, and they stood up well against that 49er rushing attack. They didn't get dominated.
4 years ago, would you have picked Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray as a better pro quarterback?
Well, we know where you would have stood.
Oh, Baker.
You had no thought that.
Zero.
You thought Kyler wouldn't ever play at Oklahoma.
No.
And Lincoln Riley sprinkled that match.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah. Now, Baker had his question marks, but when you're comparing the two, Kyler couldn't beat out Kyle Allen at Texas A&M. Yeah, it was obviously Baker, because Baker was in the middle of about to win a Heisman, or at least was really good the year. I don't know when I forgot when he won it, but he was in the middle of leading Oklahoma to a playoff 4 years ago.
Right. I mean, and look at where he is now. What's his name? It says, it's, the report is, Mike Francesa says that the Browns are trying to move OBJ.
Who wants that? Who wants that deal? Who wants that contract? Who wants that issue? What do you pay?
I don't want him. I don't want him in my locker room. I don't want him on my team.
Yeah. I don't want poop chest on my team.
No. He's bringing all that poopy shirts with him.
Yeah, and it's pink eye possibly. If you touch his shirt, you touch your face, you're screwed. How much did the Browns give up for him in terms of trading for him? Do we remember?
I don't remember what they traded.
Because you're getting
one first. It was a.
I'll look at him. We're getting, because you're getting the contract, and then you have to consider how much the Browns are going to be asking for.
Right. Well,
these are things you have.
Isn't this a dump? Don't the Browns have to give up a first rounder to get rid of him?
Ooh, that's how far.
This is a Brock Osweiler deal.
Did Francesa get called a bitch by someone for not having a team ready for the trade? Because we know that's a thing.
Ooh. Wow. You just crushed Patrick Creighton right out of nowhere.
Hey, it's fun. Isn't it? By the way, those guys will be back at 7 tonight to see how it
goes.
Ooh,
you got to hear. Maybe they'll go at it again.
We'll see. The Giants traded the star receiver to the Browns in exchange for the Browns' first-round pick and their second-round pick. Their second, third-round pick. So 96th overall, 17th overall, and Jabril Peppers. So they traded him for two players and a previous first-round pick in Jabril Peppers.
And what can you get for him now?
So let's think about it. He was looking for a new deal. That's why the Giants said, okay, beat it. And the Giants got back a mid-first-round pick, a late third-round pick, and a former first-round pick in Jabril Peppers.
Wow. That's almost as bad as the Chris Paul trade.
And you have to take on his deal, the energy he brings to your team. And are you really going to give the Browns a first-round pick for this wide receiver?
No. You know what is Odell Beckham worth now? A third or fourth?
Whew.
I mean, in just a year and a half.
Super talented, but
honestly, what would you give? I don't want him. First, I don't want him in my locker room. I don't want his salary. He's not living up to that. What? I don't need the drama. He's not a winner. He hasn't won anything.
A second? Brandon Cooks went for a second, right? So did DeAndre. A second or third?
I don't want to hear what DeAndre went for. But that's not.
But we got to compare.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
No, he did go for a second. Mm-hmm. And David Johnson. You got David Johnson.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about the D-Hop trade.
Texans
want you to forget that.
Do they?
Yeah. They want you to forget
that. Well, if DeAndre keeps going for 14 receptions a game, I'm not going to forget about it.
And the 8 first downs is the key.
Yeah. The
14 catches, 8 first
moving
downs.
Moving the chains.
Yeah.
And keeping drives going. Didn't he used to do that here a lot?
Yeah. He did that a lot.
Did it feel like the Texans
were... But we don't want him!
Did it feel like the Texans were moving the ball, keeping the ball, when the game actually mattered on Thursday? Did they have a chain mover on Thursday?
Alan Litvak says, Francesa drinks Bud Light. He's not credible.
And it was a rant on Twitter, by the way.
Francesa sucks eggs and doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. But new head coach, new offense, one game, give it time.
And Benjamin Albright of NFL, an NFL reporter, says, source tells me reporter Brown's actively shopping Odell is false. Apparently, Francesa.
Mike Francesa knows everything about sports. So
he goes, I hear Browns who are clueless looking to trade Odell. That's what he tweeted. And people have pushed back on that.
Do you know what's the official beer of misreporting? Coors Light.
I thought it was Bud Light.
Well, but it's the official beer of everything. I don't care.
But no, official beer.
Hey, listen, you can do dumb things, okay?
I get it, but I would say Woj drinks Coors because he's always right.
It's the official beer of tripping over a curb. I don't care. Whatever it is, it's the official beer.
Don't blame them for that. That's
I'm not blaming them for that.
That was clumsy.
I'm just saying, no matter what it is, I want cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
The official beer of pro wide receivers wanting something done on their chest?
The official, no.
You said everything.
Well,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But no, I got a limit.
You see that? It's bad sometimes.
The official beer of stupid trades. Okay.
Coors Light.
Coors Light. I don't know what the general manager and coach drinks. All I know is that when he did that, I drank Coors Light. Okay? Because I needed to wash down my sorrows. Listen, yesterday was golf and a bad back. That was the official beer of it. It was the official beer of my bad back. It was the official beer of a great dinner. Had some great dinner and had some Coors Lights with it. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, you want some Texas chill, you want to eat that nice steak and just chill, baby, you got it. Texas chill. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. You can tell it's cold because it's got the Blue Mountains. Pick up 12 ounces. Pick up 16 ounces. Pick up 144 ounces. That's a 12-pack. All you got to do is get cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. The official beer of everything in my life. Coors Light.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
This Rodrigo Duterte, have you... he's totally sweet. He's the Philippine president, Rodrigo Duterte. He went to an event honoring women, and he referred to them as putas locas, crazy bitches. And he says, they lashed out again. What? Hey, he said, what? What are you guys saying? I love women. That's why you see, I have two wives. That means I like women. I got two crazy.
So what he's saying is actions speak louder than my words.
Two putas locas.
Oh, man. That guy has been involved in a lot of stuff that when we hear about it here, we're like, that's crazy. And then we say, wait a minute. Our guy says crazy stuff, too. What's the difference?
Yeah, but not like this guy. I mean, our guy, he's a heat, constant heat check. There's no question.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can say today.
Hey, knock
but
off.
But this guy,
stop taking that shot.
Is throwing up from the other free from the opponent from the opponent's free throw line, or just throwing it 94 feet. Let me see if I can make this one.
I mean, I would like to see their craziest statements lined up, and we could just see who wins that battle. Like Trump hasn't directly called women overall crazy bees. He said about individuals. Yeah. He's had words for individual women, but he hasn't generalized them so far.
No. Do you think that Jason Braddock's going to call Patrick Creighton a puta loca?
I don't think so, but we do have a contender for a new name of that show. Let's call it Bitch Hits from Dustin. He even has their logo.
Okay, we're not going to do that.
Why
those guys? Those guys are on tonight.
Listen to them.
Yep.
It's Late Hits, not the name Dustin wants to call them. They'll be on 7 at 7.
A study of 2,300 heart attack survivors in the U.S. found those who displayed sarcasm, cynicism, resentment, impatience, or irritability were at greater risk of suffering from a second heart attack within 2 years. Dell?
I haven't had a first heart attack.
Well, when you have your first one, guess what?
I don't.
You will immediately have your second.
I don't know.
Immediately.
Some of the things you listed, I don't express those.
Oh, yeah. Cynicism? Yes. Sarcasm? Yes.
Okay.
Resentment? Yes.
I don't resent people.
Irritability? Yes.
I don't resent people.
Impatience? Yes.
I am not impatient.
You're impatient with Lance.
How so?
Irritable with Lance.
Wait a minute.
Every time he forgets his card?
That's not impatient. That's like, hey.
You're a cynic. You're sarcastic. All of these.
Wait a minute.
If you have a heart attack, you'll immediately have a second one and die.
Impatience because I don't find it funny or comforting or really an adult thing to do to forget your key card. I don't know. Let's say
I'm just
three times a month for the last, 3 years. I need to be patient with that. I think I've been fairly patient because you know what? I go down there and get them. The impatient person would be like, just wait till the door's open. It's not like you're prepping anyway. Just wait till the door's open. She just sits there and go, what's the difference?
Listen, you see?
No, let me
resentment.
Ask.
Resentment.
Let me ask you something.
Dead.
Let me ask you something,
You're
John.
Almost dead now.
If I said to him, why don't you just wait till the door's open? What's the difference? He sits down, forgets that he needs headphones. And goes and gets his own chair, and he's ready to go about 6:55. What's the difference? He should just wait down there.
Let me ask you this. Are you a big Toba Loba Jola Show fan?
I don't know what that is or who that is.
Toba Loba Jola Show is a big Nigerian porn star.
A male or a female porn star?
Male.
I was unaware.
He was arrested for allegedly recording a sex movie in the forest. And it was in the sacred forest, home to Osun, the Yoruba goddess of fertility.
Yoruba. That's actually part of my dad's people. We're Yoruba.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know about that fertility god though.
Well, yeah, and that's why I probably did it, trying to be fertile
and make a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to be fertile if you're a porn star.
No, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
You want to be bountiful.
He was probably for the shock value, certainly. And now the government was like, you want some shock? Okay,
yeah,
we'll give it to you.
Here's some. Arrested. Burglar. Canadian police are on the lookout. Oh, that's bad. It was a hit and run? No, put an S in front of it. It was a...
Ooh.
Apparently, dude broke into a house, pooped in the dishwasher... And then left the scene. Do you think Odell Beckham was in Canada at this point?
No, he doesn't want to do it. He wants it done to him.
Well, do you know if Odell Beckham was sitting in the dishwasher at the time?
To the letter of what you asked, no, I do not know. I don't know his whereabouts. I just know if he had been in Canada, he would have had to quarantine in that house for 14 days because they ain't playing about the COVID stuff. I'm going to say no. You got to really dislike someone.
Yes.
To do that. In their dishwasher, or because that's an awful thing to do. It's a dishwasher. There's water involved. There's soap. Maybe it doesn't take a lot to clean it out, but I imagine the dishwasher's not built for that. Because don't they tell you rinse your stuff before you put it in there?
Yeah, I mean, don't poop on it first. That's for sure.
Let me ask you something, John.
Mm-hmm.
If a person broke into your home and pooped in your dishwasher, would you ever use that dishwasher again?
No.
See, that's the bigger thing. That thing has to get taken out.
You are
costing someone a lot of money.
Yeah, you can't clean. Your plates are all going to have poop on them.
There's going
to be a little bit left. I don't care.
Even if you sent those people in who clean out like houses after someone dies and they cleaned it out, you would never think your dishes are clean again.
No.
It's over for that dishwasher.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. There's an Anchorage dentist. Remember this guy? He defrauded Medicaid and he extracted a patient's tooth while riding a hoverboard. I don't know why that's a big deal.
Doesn't seem like a.
He was sentenced to prison
for what? Riding a hoverboard?
Well, no. For 12 years in prison for dozens of charges, including Medicaid fraud.
Well,
that's the bigger issue, probably.
Yeah, not necessarily.
I think the hoverboard's kind of a neat thing. You can always say, "I went to the dentist and he took out my tooth while riding a hoverboard."
It's a story to tell.
Yeah,
and if he did it well, who cares?
Yeah, what's the difference? Twinkies got a new brand. New berry variety, stuffed with strawberry, blueberry, and raspberry cream. Are you all about Twinkies now?
I am not. I don't like Twinkies. I've never liked them.
They almost taste like pure chemicals.
I probably can't get to the third finger on my first hand as far as Twinkies are concerned.
I used to eat them a lot when I was a kid.
I'm a host.
My parents didn't care what we. We had cupcakes for dinner and Twinkies and ho-hos and ding-dongs and.
It's like a child's playground.
Yes. My dad owned a liquor store, and he had candy and all of that crap there, too.
I was in on the Hostess cupcakes. I would get
– but even
as a kid, I felt like I don't feel so great. Like, no, when a kid responds to the Constitution just, where it doesn't matter.
I didn't have any. That's just how I felt all the time.
You didn't even know.
Didn't know. I didn't know I was supposed to feel good.
Because as an adult, you feel like, okay, that's a clean meal. Even I'm not a clean eater in that aspect, but there's some times where you eat, you're like, okay, I don't feel like crap afterwards. And other times you do because it's just a food you ate. I always felt after a couple Hostess cupcakes like, ugh.
Yeah.
Even as a kid.
I love cupcakes, man.
I could.
That chocolate.
Yeah, I'm not saying I didn't like them, but there was a after the final bite of the second one, because it came in a 2-pack. I'm like,
right.
I don't feel great.
Now maybe I just my hands grew or something. I remember those cupcakes being giant. Bigger.
Yeah,
and then they got smaller and smaller. Speaking of which, we were in New Orleans a couple weekends ago. Stopped at the Chick-fil-A store.
Uh huh.
It was like a slider.
What?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, they've gotten smaller. And when I stopped a couple of weeks ago, I think Chick-fil-A is trying to work us.
They're reducing the size of their sandwiches.
Reducing the size of the sandwiches.
Now they have the mini chicken things for breakfast, but now they're reducing the sandwiches.
Sandwiches. I mean, it was noticeably smaller.
You got me one.
I think Chick-fil-A is working us on this deal.
You got me. I want to do an investigation now. And by investigation, I mean go get a sandwich.
You better go get a sandwich and see for yourself.
I will do that.
A couple of weeks ago, I thought, well, this maybe because it's a spicy chicken sandwich, it's smaller. Because I remember the Chick-fil-A sandwiches being much. The bun was so much. I was like, what the hell is going on here, Chick-fil-A?
Well, this particular.
Just now it's like a bag of Lay's chips. You get like four.
Well, this is a thing that's been a thing since 2019. People are asking about if the chicken sandwiches are getting smaller. So maybe they are progressively getting smaller and they didn't want you to notice it. It's like when I fade in music or fade out music, it's just a slow thing so people don't notice it's gone. Maybe Chick-fil-A did the same thing. I gotta do some investigating. They better not.
No.
That's an awful thing.
That's horrific.
You already put all that ice in the drink anyway.
You people. All right, we're done. Alan Lifax says, wash the dishwasher out with Coors Light. It fixes everything. And it's not the official beer of poop in the dishwasher. No. All right. Let's talk real quick about Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. You want to save money? Yes. Of course you do. So what you need is champion.energy/1560. Save money today. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.